Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, August 18th, 7:31 Central Time. Joining me by phone this morning, well, it's Monday morning. It's time to talk with Pastor Joshua Scheer from Brothers of John the Steadfast. Good morning, Pastor Scheer.
Good morning, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Happy Monday. How are you today?
I'm doing well as well.
Good, good. Well, what do you have for us this week at Brothers of John the Steadfast?
Well, I just do, first of all, a little reminder that Concord Matters, program there on KFUO, this coming Saturday, we'll be wrapping up the Small Catechism that we've been going through the Small Catechism for quite some time now. Little section by little section, some great stuff on the catechism at the church, catechism at home, things like that, throughout the whole last probably 6-7 months. And now we're coming up to wrap up. This Sunday, or this Saturday, will be the end at Table of Duties, and might touch on Christian questions and their answers. So have your folks listen in if they want to. Otherwise, Tuesday afternoons, it replays as well. So Concord Matters on KFUO. We'll be moving on to the Augsburg Confession after that.
All right.
Yeah, so we figured that might be a little better than just moving right into the Large Catechism and just saying it all again. So, although, that might not necessarily have been a bad thing either. So I have some articles that speaking of the Small Catechism, I have one entitled The Catechism and the Home in 1845, Wilhelm Leah. And this is a piece by Pastor Joe Abrahamson in which he talks, first of all, of course, about Luther's emphasis that the catechisms are meant to be used not just by pastors, not just by teachers in the school, but primarily, first and foremost, in the home. Of course, you get this sense from all the headings of the different chief parts, as the head of the household, as the head of the family, whatever translation you want to put on it, this is a book for use in the home. And he brings up this discussion that the catechism is meant to be used for the home. The church is meant to encourage that. But yet also he laments, of course, the fact that nowadays especially, we struggle to get people interested in the catechism in the home. It's a textbook. I mean, why would we want to use it in the home? That's church stuff. We don't do that here at home, which is, of course, wrong. And frankly put, it teaches your children to love the world instead of loving Christ and his teachings. And so this is why, of course, reminder that the catechism is for the home. And to bring that out, he quotes something from 1845 by Wilhelm Leah, pastor in Germany, who has very close ties to the foundations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and was pretty much a force for about half of the synod that banded together with the Saxons, Walther and so forth, that come together and made what we have as the LCMS. And Leah, of course, he also laments that even then in his time, it's not considered, the catechism is not considered to be something for the home, not something for daily life, but as a lesson, as a schoolbook, as so forth. And so this is the difficulty. I think that preachers have nowadays, pastors especially, I think, struggle with this, of trying to remind our people that this catechism thing, this isn't just some textbook used in confirmation classes. This is meant to be something that is taken home and is used at home in the prayer and devotional life of Christians in their homes, and especially Christians who have children in their homes, that they would raise their children in the faith, that the children would be just embracing this this rigorous theology that is in the Small Catechism, a theology that is not just a bunch of abstractions, mm-hmm. but a theology that is concrete, it is everyday, it is daily life, it is stuff that helps you to be a Christian where God puts you and whatever order or vocation he puts you in, that this catechism has great usefulness. And of course, so times don't change, that 1845. Today, to Luther's day, pastors, preachers lamenting that the small catechism is not being used at home. So, just as a side note, we have that other series on the catechism that just wrapped up. It was a three-part series on the importance of the small catechism in 1580, talking about how the church used the catechism in 1580. Some interesting stuff come through in that set of articles about things that might not necessarily be bad ideas to get the small catechism back into people's hands and minds nowadays, up to and including recitation of the catechism during divine service. So sometimes a novel and good idea, but an old one, according to that, from 1580. So I think it could be a good thing. The other article I've got that I wanted to kind of go over is by Pastor Eric Anderson, who writes for us and also is one of the co-hosts of Steadfast Throwdown, a podcast program that we also sponsor. It's called The Godly Kind of Mercy Killing. And this is it's an article about God's law and how God's law kills and how God has that alien work of killing so that he can make alive, so to speak, as Jeremiah would put it, you know, to tear up or to tear down in order to build up, this kind of emphasis. And, of course, he ties it into, of course, the idea of mercy killing nowadays is, of course, that means that somebody's sick and it's not looking good and it might be painful, so let's just hurry along death. Well, that's not a godly type of mercy killing. That's, you know, that's a sinful breaking of the fifth commandment. Instead, Pastor Anderson writes about the godly kind of mercy killing that is the preaching of the law, that God puts to death the flesh, that God would make us aware of our sins, not so that we would sit there and be dead, but of course so that God would do his proper work of then raising us through the preaching of the gospel, that the forgiveness of those sins for Christ's sake, that God sees us differently, has declared us righteous, all these wonderful things that come, the sweetness of those things, in comparison to the fact that God has to kill us first, that we sin, and we are sinners, and that needs to die. Baptismal imagery all over in there, of course, the daily dying to sin and rising again to newness of life, the significance of baptism. But then he talks about it a little bit as a preacher, that sometimes as a preacher you don't want to preach the law because it stings, and it stings people that you know, stings people you love, and worst usually is that it stings yourself. That as a preacher, sometimes you have to preach the sternness of God's law, that it very much hits very close to home, and that the preacher himself is slayed, so to speak, is put to death. So, but again, this is all for the sake of the gospel, that God would raise up, that God would heal, that God would cause to live, not that death would reign, but that life would reign through the gospel. And so there is that godly type of mercy killing in comparison to the world's sinful type of mercy killing. So I think it'd be a good article to check out for some of your listeners. So
very good, very good. And that one's pretty close to the top, the second one from the top there this morning.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, it was kind of a slower week, so we only had a few articles go out this last week. But so it goes during the summer, especially towards the end of summer, as my authors are wrapping up their vacations and doing the family things that they have with their vocation of family. So, absolutely. And as the catechism piece reminded me that times don't change. I was doing some research for another project last night, and I was reading an article from 1940 by a preacher, a Lutheran preacher, in which he laments how religious freedom is being impinged by the government. And just kind of reminded me again that, you know, times don't change, that we struggle with that today. And of course, we wouldn't necessarily think that in the 1940 they had similar struggles, or at least they thought they did, right? So times don't change, and that's okay. Our God doesn't change either, and that's even more of a comfort than the fact that time doesn't change. So that's a good thing.
There's nothing new under the sun, right?
Nothing new under the sun, as the preacher of Ecclesiastes would say. Absolutely.
Although someone corrected me on that, and, well, added to that the other day, but all things are made new in Christ.
All things are made new in Christ. There you go. To whom we are baptized.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Pastor Scheer. Look forward to talking with you. Well, actually, we'll check in with Pastor Hinton next week, correct?
Absolutely. He'll take over for me for a couple weeks while I'm away, and I'll see you in a few weeks.
All right. God's blessings.
You as well.
Thank you. Coming up in just a bit, we've got our conversation with Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary. Hope you can join us for that. Stick around for more of his time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.